I think we're live.
Wow.
Ooh. Okay.
Hello. Hi, Internet.
Hello, Internet.
It is the Internet.
Good evening, squirrels.
Good evening.
All right. I got to lead off with my plight just because I want to see if someone will call in for this thing. I have plane tickets in hand, and I am going to goddamn Florida.
What?
To get away from this horrible weather tomorrow.
Oh.
Mostly it's just for a little weirder to see her grandfather, who lives down in Florida.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. But also it happens to be there's going to be like another snowstorm coming through and all that. Fuck it, I don't want to be here.
Flying with a baby, huh?
Yeah.
And that's the big thing, is I'm trying to read on TSA, and unfortunately, their website, if you want to say anything good about the TSA, their websites do tend to be fairly descriptive.
Uh-huh.
It's somewhat ambiguous on flying with an infant. Is, do the infants have to go... it definitely says the infant will need to be pervo-scanned if they set off a metal detector. And thankfully,
Just put her on the conveyor belt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so she gets cancer.
Put her in the little bucket and let her run through with your...
Baby's first tumor.
Yeah.
Aww. Oh,
but, no. Yeah, that's a little macabre. I'm going to be holding her to my chest, you know,
yeah,
anytime she's not in the stroller. And the microwave / backscatter / all that stuff, you know, I mean, I could technically hold her up against my holster and then hold her up against my holster and let the scanner go through. And then I get to walk through with a gun, you know, sort of idea. So I don't really see why you would be able to walk through a pervo scanner with a baby, but it's not specific.
Yeah.
And certainly my baby's not going through any of those goddamn scanners, because I remember the last ones they told us were safe. The new ones they tell us are safe.
Well, the ones they run now are not X-rays. They're terahertz microwaves, so they're not going to, you know, they won't penetrate the skin, so.
Yep.
It should be okay.
I understand that, but still, fuck them.
Right.
And everyone who looks like them.
Hey, let's play
but
some music.
I want to know if any of the squirrels have flown with an infant.
Well, call
does,
in and
does the
tell
baby get a pat down? You know,
she better not, because otherwise, Daddy Bear might appear in some news.
Uh oh. Well,
we'll start a fundraiser.
That's right. We'll take a bunch of
money,
which is actually not true, because as I do not have a temper. If anyone who knows me well knows that it takes a whole lot. When my button gets flipped, it gets kind of scary. But as a general rule, it takes a whole lot of bullshit to flip that button. And
yeah, but TSA can do it.
Yeah, but also it's one of those things of the, you know, it's just like when people talk about, like, if a cop's going to make an illegal horrible arrest, you let that cop make an illegal horrible arrest, and.
Right.
You know, and then call your lawyer.
Right.
Sort of idea. The TSA is the same way. There's, yeah. You're not going to
you're
win.
You're not going to win that argument standing there.
The only thing I do in my protest to the TSA, which is just point out when they ask me if there's any sensitive areas on my body, I mention only my Fourth Amendment rights, because I want them to know what they are doing, and I want them to think about it. Not that any of those pig fuckers think.
Nope.
And yes, they do fuck pigs. I have pictures.
Oh, cool. Hey!
It's Wednesday, February 21st, 2022! It's time for the Squirrel Report!
Thursday, January 23rd, 2014, episode number 88.
Wow.
I love when...
If we were in a DeLorean, we'd be traveling through time right now.
No, if we were in a DeLorean, we'd be trying to get it above 65.
Yeah, don't spoil it, man.
God, those cars were sacks of shit.
Hey, we have a caller. Maybe they have an answer to your question, Weird.
I hope so.
This is area code 661. Hello.
Hey, guys. It's Chalk from the chat room.
Hey.
Hey. So I have two good TSA. Actually, I have two TSA stories. One pissed me off. And then the other one was actually I got to feel like a human being. I'm in the military, So two weeks ago, I flew to New Orleans for some training, and because I'm in the military, when I sent my orders in, I put in my DoD ID number, and I got to walk through TSA with my boots with shoes on. I got to keep my belt on. I got to keep my wallet in my pocket, and I didn't have to turn my laptop on. I basically got treated like a human being.
Wow.
It was probably the only time I've enjoyed flying in the last, I don't know, since
okay, 9/11. You've got my envy right there.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
I'm going to boot camp, people.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. It's worth it. One other time, I flew in uniform. Before they had, like, the TSA pre-screen people. And this mouth breather, he wants to put me through the radiation machine. And I said no, so I go through secondary. And he's like, well, can you take this off? And he's pointing to my ribbons, and he's pointing to parts of my uniform, asking me to take it off. And I said, excuse me? I said, I'm not taking my uniform off of you. I was like, no. And he's like, I need a supervisor. I said, get a fucking supervisor over here then. So I'm not taking my uniform off. And then his supervisor's like, oh, just let him go. And it's just like that easy just to get through. Just let him go.
Well, you're wearing a uniform, for God's sake. I mean,
yeah, I'm flying. I didn't even want a flying uniform. I just happened to fly in uniform. And, you know, what a dickhead. But, yeah, those were my last two flights. One of them was great. One of them was really, really frustrating. So.
That's crazy.
I got a supervisor called over when I gave my only my Fourth Amendment rights line to the person in Houston when I was heading back from the NRA show, and that right there is what I refer to as victory.
Yeah, well, you know, it's TSA. I hate having to fly, but you know we have to fly sometimes.
Oh yeah, no. I'm only going for a few days, and it's. I mean, essentially, I'm going for an extended weekend. We'll be back on Monday, and yeah. So people said, "Oh, drive." I'm like, okay. First up, I got a little baby. I am not doing a 40-hour drive.
Oh my God, that'd be worse than driving with cats.
Bad.
You can at least sedate the cats, right?
Yeah, but on top of that, I'm not going to burn, you know, 2 days, you know, of a short trip. I mean, I make a lot of short, you know, I'm going down to see family, and so I've done a bunch of family obligation stuff down in Florida. You know, it's not a vacation. You know, it's fun, it's nice, it's getting away, but it's nothing remotely like a vacation.
It's not relaxing.
And so to burn those that's going to be relaxing. My father-in-law knows how to kick back and relax. So, but the, you know, it's definitely going to be a relaxing time, but this is not for, you know, for recreational purposes. And so just the idea of putting that much time on the road is just not right. It's not feasible. And on top of that, why the hell should we be having this argument in fucking America? You know, why should I even be suggesting, you know, the fact that if I can afford a plane ticket, why should I not be able to just fly and not worry about somebody cupping my nuts tomorrow?
Well.
I know. George W. Bush.
Well, it was kind of like a combination of, like, you know, the Democrat...
Oh yeah,
government, and then they jumped at the chance at writing this bill. Woohoo! You know, and then George Bush, kind of under pressure, was like, "Well, we got to do something," and he signed it. So,
but were the nuthuckers nutcheckers under Bush?
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember. I didn't fly a ton. I haven't flown a ton since September 11th. I've flown a bit, but considerably less than I used to. I've definitely done a lot more crazy driving, and I'm definitely not opposed to driving whenever it's feasible.
Yeah, the TSA and the Homeland Security was definitely a Bush administration accomplishment, along with the Patriot Act fiasco and all that other stuff.
Yeah, we had some friends. Well, but I'm talking about the enhanced pat downs. When did that come into?
Yes.
Yeah, that was Bush. Okay, yep. Cool. Yeah, whatever.
Absolutely.
I don't like either of them.
No, I don't either. I mean, I like Bush as a person. But I think, well, you know, I don't, it's not like I actually met him, but, you know, he seems okay as a person.
Yep. Yeah, but his philosophy's bullshit.
Yeah.
No, I agree. All right, let's get on to topics. And if anyone's got any experience, if you ever flown with an infant, let me know. I want to know what to expect.
I have been the unfortunate victim of people flying with infants.
Well, hopefully.
Oh my God! Shut that kid up! Ah,
Lola Weirda is very, very good and rarely gets like inconsolable. And, you know, really, it's only when she's like absolutely totally exhausted do things get really, really hairy. And she's a good sleeper, so she can have a full night's sleep for at least at least for the flight down. We'll see about the flight back, but I suspect the flight back will be just as good. So I'm not too concerned about her not being on her best behavior. She might make some noise and let her presence known, so I'm not too concerned about that. Really, I am just concerned about strange people with possible criminal backgrounds touching my little baby girl.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's hard to say. It depends. You know, the problem with TSA in a lot of cases, it's kind of like this, you know, the cop thing, right? You never know which one you're going to get. You know, you might get the friendly one or you might get the asshole. You know, it's just, you don't know.
Well, yes. I mean, also to be fair, I mean, because I'm flying with an infant, I have elected a little sharing time. I've elected I'm not going to be flying with a firearm this time. I fly with firearms all the time, and it's good. But I've decided I've never flown with an infant before, and every single time I've flown with a firearm, it's been a completely different experience. And because of that, I want to eliminate that variable.
Hmm.
So, but. You know, that bugs me too. Is why is it so goddamn inconsistent on how they're going to handle somebody with a legally, you know, carried and cased gun?
I have to tell you that every time I go through TSA with my leg, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time, it's been different, and I'm thinking, why can't they just make it the same treatment all across the board?
Yeah, it's a federal agency. I mean, if anything, federal agencies are wonderful about standardizing things to the point of stupidity.
Yeah, you would think. But no, it has been the case that every single time it's been different for me.
Yep.
So, you know, Weird, I just wanted to let you know that, you know, some girl tried to fly with a turtle and they made her put the turtle in the trash. So you might want to be aware of that.
Put the turtle in the trash?
Don't put the baby in the trash.
Well, that's really easy. If they tell me to put my baby in the trash, I'm going to put my boarding pass in the trash and just go home and watch TV.
No,
With a baby sleeping on me.
I would imagine they just would treat the baby like as part of you at a certain point. Yeah,
every time I've seen parents go through TSA with a baby, the parent carries the baby through. I don't see them ever. I've never seen them separate the baby.
Well,
from
no, they say that they legally cannot separate you from your child. And so, I mean, I think I am prepared right now from all my reading. And again, it's not very consistent and I'm not trusting what I'm reading, but from my reading is what they will do is they will ask me and the baby to walk through a metal detector. And then they will probably ask me to walk through the Pervo scanner, in which case I will say, fuck no.
Yeah. Well, you'll have an interesting story one way or the other to tell us next week.
Yeah.
And speaking of traveling stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay, segue.
That was good.
Good segue, Brita.
Thank you.
Speaking of not doing things the same way every time, you're talking about checking guns in Houston. At the Hobby Airport, the smaller one where the Southwest Airlines flies out of, every time I go through there with a gun in my bag, which is every time, they you know, I sign the card, put it in there, lock the case, and they take it and throw it on the conveyor, and it's like, see ya. Every other airport, it's like okay, we're gonna walk over to where they scan the luggage now. And they tell the TSA, here's a bag with a firearm in it. And the TSA takes it and runs it through the scanner. I'm like, what the heck? I mean, you know, it's completely different. They, it's like in Houston, it's like, ah, fuck, another firearm. Who cares? You know, I get more questions because I put, because my entire suitcase is the hard sided, you know, case for the gun, you know, and people are, that throws people for a loop, but, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. But Boston's been different every single time. Houston was severely understaffed with all the people flying out for the NRA convention.
Sure.
So I did a lot of fucking standing around and looking at like mouth breathing dipshits that were asking me to commit felonies.
Yeah.
What are you doing, sir? I've got a firearm here. I'm declaring a firearm. So, but overall, they were good. But yeah, Logan has been everywhere from the, are you fucking serious? This is Massachusetts and that's all you're going to do? I've never had a bad experience flying out of Logan with a firearm. And that's my predominant experience.
So anyway, I flew to Ohio.
Yeah, Alan came.
Ohio gazimos!
Alan came to the winter.
I did. I went to visit the winter. Left Houston at oh my fucking god in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Changed planes in Chicago and flew on. It was like, you know, a little 45-minute jaunt from Chicago to Cleveland. Landed in Cleveland.
You flew through Chicago with a firearm.
I do. You just change planes and they transfer the luggage. It's not like I get it and, you know.
Oh no, I understand that, but the big issue is that you want to talk about winter. Chicago's fucking got it, and if you get, the store. I would always try to avoid that only because is Chicago always, is that O'Hare?
Midway.
Chicago always gets like snowed in and runway delays and all that. You know, God forbid they say, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but we're gonna have to put you on a flight tomorrow. We're gonna put you in a hotel room, collect luggage."
Yeah, but in Chicago, it's legal to have a gun now.
That is, well, technically, yes.
Yep, it sure is. Absolutely legal.
So, no, not it's not. It's I don't believe. I think you need an FID for that, don't you? I'm not. Did they install a provision like?
Well, technically, it's under the traveling thing, but you know.
But that's a law that nobody pays attention to.
Yeah. Well, I've never had a problem, so knock on wood. So anyway, I went to the land of Cleve.
Yeah.
Saw all kinds of cool stuff. Hung out with Brita and Mike and her Brita mom, and Brita's mom cooked an Irish breakfast one morning, which was great. Went to the art museum and they had this, you know, for anybody that's a computer geek and an art geek, you got to go to the Cleveland Art Museum. Because they have this really cool video wall now. It's like an entire wall. It's huge. And it's touch sensitive, and you drag art around and throw it into your iPad to look at later. And
it's like living in the future.
It really is. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
That is really cool.
It's cool, and there's some video. I guess I should put the video on the blog or on YouTube or something, because not everybody has Facebook. And then, of course, they've got this cool ArtLens app that you put on an iPad, and you walk around and you point it at a painting, and it pops up with all this information about the painting and, you know, who did it and important things and more information and
all
kinds
cool.
of stuff. It is absolutely like what you would expect living in the future to be. And it is, you know, it's amazing. It really is. I don't know. Unless, you know, if you're an art geek and a gadget geek, then it's cool. If not, then, you know.
Yeah, if not.
Yeah.
I thought it was really, I was kind of proud of my city at that point. I was like, yay, because it's the only one in the country.
It is. It's the only only one. And
yeah, if you get to Cleveland, definitely go to the art museum and bring your gadget.
And it only works on iThings.
Yes.
Yeah, fuck that noise.
So. No, only iThings, Ben.
But I think I think you can like rent one there or something. I'm not sure.
You can rent a device.
Yeah.
They'll lend you a device if you don't have one. So pretty cool.
If you do not have a device, one will be supplied to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the most exciting thing, which kind of was like the whole point of Alan coming here, the most exciting thing was Alan went. How old are you, Alan?
Old enough.
Okay, old enough. For the very first time, Alan went sled riding. And not like this, like, you know, piddly shit, like, you know, oh, I slid down my driveway on a sled when I was 3. No, no, no. Like, seriously, sled riding down the big hill.
Yes.
On a saucer. And yes. It was great. And Alan just posted.
By the way, Alan, I just posted in the chat on my blog.
I saw that.
That was one of my gun death files was someone who was killed from sledding.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I saw that.
They didn't actually give details on how the heck that happened.
It does happen.
And it could have happened to Alan, and Alan dodged death. He cheated death.
Here's the thing is that hill, it's behind the courthouse in Willoughby, or behind City Hall, whatever. And it's really steep. And I used my clinometer app on the iPhone and estimated it about 22 degrees. So it's at least 60 feet down. And maybe more. It's a good
hill. And I got to say the in the video, you get some goddamn. I mean that's a sign of quality is you get some darn good distance.
Yeah, you do. You hit the bottom
after the grade goes out.
Yeah, you hit the bottom and you keep going.
Well, it's not unheard of for people to actually get all the way to the fence.
I believe it.
Yeah. So. It's a pretty steep hill. I was afraid because I haven't gone sledding in a long time, and I don't think I've ever gone sledding on that hill, particular hill. But it was pretty scary. You sit down at the top, you're like, oh shit, what am I doing? And then you're like, okay, I'm just gonna go. And then like 5 seconds in, you're thinking, what the hell am I doing? And by then it's too late because it's you and gravity and the snow.
There's nothing you
know.
To do about it.
Yeah. But the thing I loved the most, Alan, was how you laughed. You laughed the whole way down. It was great.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
You did it right.
It was a thrill. Yeah. I mean, it was okay. So I go up there and I'm looking down this hill and it's cold and the wind's blowing and
it was cold that day.
I am not, here's the thing. When I was in college, I used to go snow skiing all the time over in New Mexico. And you know, you ride the lift, you ski down the hill, and, you know, fine. This thing, in the first place, was pretty damn steep. And I'm sitting there, it's cold, and I'm supposed to ride down on my butt on this little piece of plastic. And you can see in the video, I'm kind of dubious at the start. And I sit down, and before I even really get a chance to, like, center myself and...
Oh,
you know,
yeah. Your feet went out.
My butt hit the ground and I started sliding. I was like, ah, and you know, by that time I couldn't stop if I wanted to. So, the second time I went down, it was, I was a little more prepared. But that was fun. I enjoyed the snow and cause to me, that's a lot of snow and to Brita, it was like,
I was fretting because we didn't really have a lot of snow. I was like, oh, is this going to work? But it did. So
yeah, it's not real snow if there's grass poking through.
No, I see. That's my standard too. If you can see the grass poking through your snow, it doesn't count.
They don't even bother.
At least the grass was not green. When you see green grass poking through the snow, yeah, that is officially bullshit snow.
Apparently, they don't even bother to shovel the sidewalks.
No,
if you can see the grass. So
oh my gosh, I've got like 4 or 5 inches in my driveway right now. We still haven't shoveled. It's like, well, should we wait it out? Yeah.
Well, that's one of my things is right now it's so damn cold. I've shoveled my driveway after the last snowstorm and
it blows back in.
Normally, I go through and there's, you know, a little few patches of snow and a few little, you know, bits. I use a snow scoop so I have like, you know, a couple little Coke lines, you know, going through the middle of the driveway. It's what it makes.
Yeah.
It looks like some big old rails that you could snort. But usually, usually as soon as the sun comes up, it gets warm enough that they melt away and they disappear. And they're still fucking there.
Yeah.
It's just cold. Hence the reason why my furnace is still running, if you can hear it.
Yep.
I made Alan use the snow brush. Everybody, I want you to know that, you know, because Alan now has full snow brush experience. Even though I really didn't, the snow was, it was so cold when he was here that the snow wasn't sticking really. And, you know, if I had driven and the wind had caught the snow, it would just blown the snow off the car. But I made him do the snow brush anyway.
Well, that's good.
I know.
Yeah, the snow brush was fun.
It loses its charm when you have to do it like four times a day.
Yeah, I would not enjoy it if I lived in it, but yeah.
I can't remember when a snow brush was fun. I'm sure that time existed, but that time is long gone.
What else would you? Oh, we went to the zoo also. That was fun.
We went to the zoo when it was below freezing.
Yep.
Did you see anything?
Yeah.
Were all the animals like, fuck, it's cold.
Yeah, they were doing that. But
well, a lot of the animals were inside because it was so cold. But they were like, you know, the tigers were out and the wolves were out and the cheetahs were out. The cheetahs were out and hunting a deer that was in the woods.
Yeah, that was cool. We had a little predator experience.
Yeah, that was kind
of
neat.
They killed the fuck out of it?
No, they were watching. We came around the corner to visit the cheetahs, and they were pacing back and forth on the far side of their fence, looking toward the woods across the street, and doing that, you know, where they, you know, stick their heads up and look and look and look, and we didn't see anything, and we kind of, you know, were sitting there hanging out, taking pictures of them and stuff, and then Brita noticed this lump of fur, kind of like 20 yards off in the woods, and you know, after a while, it lifted its head up, and it was a deer.
Yeah, just laying
curled
there.
Curled up, sleeping in the woods, and the cheetahs were like, you know, they didn't give a shit about us, but man, they wanted that deer bad.
Was it outside the enclosure?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just a wild deer in the woods.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about that. It was a cheetah, wasn't it? There was a story. It wasn't in America, but where a deer hopped in. Oh, no, maybe it was in America where the deer hopped into the enclosure.
Got I don't know, shit. But if it did, it'd get eaten.
It got its shit ruined. Yeah, no, it got, the cheetahs got some free food.
Yep. So that was fun.
Not that they care. They don't pay for it. They're welfare animals.
Yep. So, yeah, that was my.
I think you had a good time.
That sounds very exciting for you.
Yeah, it was. It was fun.
I don't get to see snow.
I haven't been sledding in a while. That's probably going to change. There's got to be some good hills around here.
Yeah, you need to find one so you can take Lewerta down and scare the shit out of her.
But the difference is with Massachusetts, I mean, all the good hills I know are paved.
Oh.
But there's got to be a few around here. I just gotta ask around. My neighbors probably know.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some somewhere.
All right, so let's talk about Texas.
Can we?
Because this is good stuff. And I gotta say, I've got a Massachusetts spin on it.
Well,
I think you know where I'm going
to
go.
You know, I was at first I was kind of reluctant to talk about this because it's like, you know, it's like local politics. But then it's just gone nationwide, and now
it's absolutely national news. They were it was really funny. I was listening to a local talk show before the show, and they were talking about this. I mean, this is essentially a New England only show. But yet they were absolutely talking about this story. So it is 100% a national story.
So we're talking about Wendy Davis, which is funny because Davis is the guy she divorced after he paid for her Harvard education.
Yeah.
And she kept his name.
Feminism.
Yeah.
Yay.
Which is, okay, so background here. This is Texas. She's a state representative or state senator. I'm not sure which. She's a state something or other. From Fort Worth, in one of the Fort Worth districts, Democrat, which is kind of rare these days in Texas. Usually you find them in the big cities, you know, Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, El Paso. I can't think of any other Democrat enclaves besides those. But anyway, she came to fame last session where she filibustered a bill that would have tightened up some of the regulations on abortion centers and doctors and stuff like that. Of course, it didn't make any difference because the governor called everybody back and they passed it anyway. But that was, you know, she was like, woo, you know, yay, feminism, because, you know, feminists don't give a shit about anything but abortion these days. Anyway, so now she's running for governor because, you know, publicity or something. Anyway, she's got this story, you know, I was a poor child, teenage mother, divorced when I was a kid, hard work, lived in a trailer park, worked my way through college, and now
she worked for it, all right.
I'm successful. Well, come to find out that the reality is nothing like that. She, what was it? She wasn't actually a teenage single mother. She got divorced when she was 21 from her first husband. Lived in a trailer that was owned by her family, you know, so she didn't have to actually pay rent or anything.
And only for a couple of months.
Only for a few months. Hooked up with this Davis guy who was a friend of her father's.
Right, I was about to say, her father hooked them up.
Yes, and he was considerably older than she was. Not that that's a big deal. Anyway, he took care of her, paid for her to go to finish her degree, bachelor's degree, paid for her to go to Harvard, took care of his stepdaughter and their daughter they had between them while she was in Boston going to Harvard Law School. She graduated, came back, got I'm not real sure what she did in the meantime, but then he got her started in politics, introduced him to his political, you know, people, and got her started. And then the day he paid the last payment on her Harvard tuition, she filed divorce on his ass.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So, yeah, the feminist story there is complete bullshit. If feminism is gold digging, psychotic, crazy person.
She does seem kind of like one of those women with the crazy eyes.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? That like you meet them and you're like, whoa, okay.
Well,
she's a little bit intense and a little bit crazy eyes and. Maybe, like, you know.
When she got divorced, this Davis guy that she divorced got a restraining order against her. And the terms of the visitation with her daughter that he got custody of.
Because the daughter asked to live with
her
father.
And I have personal experience on this. In Texas, for the mother to not automatically get custody of the kid you have to be seriously fucked up.
Well, I mean, that's every state in the union.
But I mean, the seriously fucked up.
I mean, I worked with a guy who he's older than even you, Alan. So he got divorced back probably, I think, in the late 70s or so. He divorced his wife because she turned into like a hardcore junkie and was sleeping around. I mean, it was a pretty good one-sided divorce. I don't know if Massachusetts still had at-fault divorce back then or not, but still, as far as at-fault goes, it was pretty cut and dry. And because his wife was a junkie, his mother-in-law got custody of their daughter.
Wow! So and not him.
Yeah, well, not him. I mean, it sounds like he didn't put up much of a struggle for it, But I mean, it's one of those things of just, you know, but according to him, I mean, the courts are going to always side with a female to take custody of the child, you know, back then. And if the mother is unfit to be a mother, then it's the mother-in-law. And so this girl ended up getting raised and visited by both parents.
Wow.
Oh my.
Well, anyway, in this case, she was under orders to not take drugs or drink alcohol 24 hours before and during her visitation with her daughter. So, anyway, apparently she's a real piece of work. And so all this came out, and she's tried to spin it several different ways, and somebody's doing the patented, you know, dribble news release thing where it's, you know, it just seems to get worse and worse and worse. And now she's playing this, you know, well, my past is off limits now.
I'm sorry. You're playing the wrong game.
Yeah, that's the latest. The latest I've heard is she's trying to claim that her past is all. It's her story. How dare you? You know,
too late.
I gotta say, hearing this story, my past is some tame ass bullshit.
Yeah,
and I don't know if I'd ever want to go into public office. I mean, you know, it may someday happen, but probably not. But one reason why I've never even considered even becoming a city councilman is I don't want people digging through my past, and I don't have much to hide. But once you're a public figure, there ain't shit you can say about that.
Well, unless you're Obama.
Oh, no. Unless you're a Democrat.
Right.
That is true.
Because let's not forget that Teddy Kennedy left a woman to die in a car, submerged in water.
That's only because he was driving drunk.
Well, yeah, but he left her to die.
Sure did.
He knew she was in there, and he left her to die. And he went on to become the lion of the Senate and, you know, the hero of the Democrats. And if you're a Democrat, you can get away with murder and rape, apparently. And
as long as you're pro-abortion.
And, yeah, if you're pro-abortion and, you know, whatever.
Yep. But by the way, the autopsy report said that she died in the back of that car with her lungs were still filled with air.
Yeah.
In the autopsy, she asphyxiated. She was sitting in an air pocket for God knows how long, waiting for someone to come save her.
Wow.
And died of exposure.
Yeah.
So So now the thing that hit today was that. Apparently, all her supporters are making fun of Greg Abbott, who is the Republican, heir apparent to the governorship. They haven't had the election yet, but he is for all intents and purposes the Republican candidate for governor.
Well, how is he for a candidate?
Oh, I think he's all right. I mean, he's a politician, right? But he makes the right mouth noises.
It's not bad.
He's pro gun. He's pro freedom. You know, his campaign bumper sticker for attorney general was the Gadsden rattlesnake.
Very nice.
You know, so I had one of them on my truck
while. And he's part of the Rick Perry cabinet, so.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not like they're buddy buddy or anything, but you know, because you know, it's a separate election.
Okay.
They're not, you know, the.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He's attorney general, right?
Right. Yeah, that's in Texas. That's
and Massachusetts is the same.
It's an elected. They don't get appointed or anything. So. So anyway, I think he is what he is. But anyway, I just think it's funny that, you know, and she's going on with this, you know, oh, he's never walked a mile in my shoes. And everybody just went, oh, he's been in a wheelchair half his life.
The one that I loved is that he doesn't know about my struggle.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't.
I'm like, okay.
That is like the biggest like cop out is you haven't been me. Well, no, no one's been you.
Yeah. Not even you.
Yeah.
Because her story is complete made up bullshit.
Does she have any composite girlfriends in the biography?
She might.
I wonder if that's coming out next.
Bow chicka bow bow.
Well, I thought it was interesting. Also, another thing that came out about her today was that in order to kind of pander to get more votes, she's now claiming to be very pro-gun.
Which is funny because she is very anti-gun.
She has had a long history of being anti-gun, but now, she's very pro-gun.
Yes.
And I just, there's like this revisionist history thing going on with Democrats. Like, I think it started with, but Obama, you know, he has this book that is kind of like his biography. You know, it's a general sense of his past. You know, it's not an actual true story.
Fake but inaccurate.
Yeah, I don't even understand. Like, because we always say the internet is forever, right?
Yep.
It's not like they can hide these things.
Except they can.
Well, I don't think I don't think it's that they're hiding it. I think that they know that their base and probably a good enough percentage of the voting public just doesn't check. Doesn't follow the news, doesn't check up on the candidates. So they just hear this story and they're like, oh, wow, working mother, single mother, and she lived in a trailer park and now she's running for governor. That's all they hear. And then they're like, check.
Yep.
I mean, they're playing by numbers. I mean, they have this base that will vote for them.
Right.
Whatever they say. They can eat puppies and kick babies and they will still, it doesn't matter.
They call
and
then those, there's
just look at the now endorsement of Bill Clinton.
Right, exactly. And then there's that chunk of voting public that, you know, they hear whatever they hear on TV and that's good enough for them.
They used to call those yellow dog Democrats down here in the South.
I don't know what that means.
Well,
it comes
from the story that the Democrats could run a yellow dog for office and they'd vote for it.
Yeah, there you go. Your colorful Southernisms.
Yep. Yellow dog Democrats.
And to add in the Massachusetts flair for me, and this is also a national flair, is in Massachusetts we have now the senior senator, for fuck's sake, Elizabeth Warren, who got into Harvard because she was a quote-unquote Native American. And it turns out her only proof that she is a Native American is that her grandmother had high cheekbones.
That's right.
Right.
Yep.
And I'm going to say this is personally a very, very offensive story to me because I am a graduate of the University of Maine. The University of Maine is on stolen Indian land. And as a little peace offering, the state of Maine declared that anybody who is on any Indian tribal roster can freely go to the University of Maine. So I actually went to school with a ton of Native Americans who were going there completely scot-free. They just paid for their dorm room and their books, and that was it. And I also know a ton of people, specifically in the state of Maine, because, I mean, that's the big deal, who would love to go to the University of Maine scot-free, but they can't because they don't have the necessary paperwork and genealogy information to prove that they are of Native American heritage, and it's a big deal. And you know, I actually know one friend of mine. I mean, he's very, very dark skinned, looks all the stereotypical business of being a Penobscot Indian, far more than a bunch of the Penobscots I saw. Not to say that those people are any fault, but I definitely went to school with some blonde haired, blue eyed Indians. But legitimate, you know, legitimate tribal roster. I mean, they're not, you know, there's no such thing as a pure anything these days, including our African American president.
Pure asshole.
Yeah. but this guy says that, you know, this guy says he's pretty sure that he's of Penobscot heritage, but he can't prove it. And
I think they could do like a DNA test or something.
Yeah, but it's all done through you need to have record of someone who was a registered Indian. And if you go, and you don't have to go back very far before people did everything they could to hide the fact that they were Native American.
Sure.
Right.
Because of, you know, because of discrimination reasons. And so because of that, some people have a real, real sticky wicket if they want to prove that they're Native American for stuff like going to school tuition free. It's a pain in the ass. And for her just to suddenly just check the box that says Native American, which is all she did, is so offensive. And yet that's what she did, and everyone's fine with it.
Hmm. And they're still defending her.
Sure they are.
Is she like it, one of those, are they still talking about her running for president?
I don't think so.
I know at a certain point she gets I could swear she was one of the people that they were talking about.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, certainly it's one of those things of the, I mean, my weather vane to national politics is I'm a frequent reader of hotair.com, and yeah. Elizabeth Warren's face showing up on hotair.com is fairly common, surprisingly right. common for the fact that she's mentally challenged, and B has absolutely no, government experience at all. But yet, for some strange reason, she just throws herself into the fray, and everyone just holds her up like she's some sort of messiah. I mean, it's very, very similar to Barack Obama's rise to power, except for Barack Obama did actually, go through a few elected offices first, as opposed to just being a Harvard professor and a carpetbagger.
Yeah. Oh. Before we run out of time, nobody's called in. 214-325. What?
We didn't have a call in.
214-530-0036. Call in and say something.
Nobody else has flown with infants in the enhanced pat down.
Apparently not. So let's talk about this idiot that.
Yeah.
Ghost gun.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin DeLeon, who is apparently an actual senator.
Oh, God.
And, I watched this video a couple of times, and
did you watch the full video or just the short
one? Oh, my God.
I watched the short one and part of the full one, but this guy
I couldn't get through the full one either.
It was so painful to watch. The guy obviously doesn't, I run into this a lot in my field because it's somewhat technical, and you get a lot of people that they hear something, and they hear the buzzwords, and then they try to say them and use them themselves, but they get it completely wrong, and they wind up sounding like idiots because it's obvious they don't know what they're talking about. This was that guy.
Sure was.
He is completely clueless. He doesn't know anything at all about guns. He heard some words, and he stood up there and figured that if he said these magic words that people would think he knew what the fuck he was talking about or something. I don't know.
Can we just, first of all, I don't know what he was talking about. Ghost guns. What?
Okay. So
what is a ghost gun per his definition? What is a ghost gun? Cause I just don't understand.
So now you can, what you can do is, and I'm a little hazy on the exact stuff. Cause I've never actually done this and I don't really have a whole lot of desire to do it. Because I've got a friend like Wally. So if I wanted to have a fully customized gun, I'd just, with a custom serial number and all that stuff, I'd just ask him. But so you can buy. So, we all know there's one part of a gun that's actually the gun that's treated as a gun. And that's the receiver, and the receiver is a different piece and, a whole bunch of different types of guns, but like for an AR-15, which is what he was waving around, it's the, it's the lower receiver and that's the gun. Everything else you can replace, you can modify, right. You can deal with and all of that. But that lower receiver is the serialized part and the part that you need a background check and the part that felons can't possess, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what you can do is you can buy someone that's built most of the receiver, but hasn't drilled the necessary holes. And that's an 80% receiver. And that's not considered a gun, and it has no serial number. It's a fucking paperweight, and you can't install gun parts into it yet.
Right.
But you can fill out some ATF paperwork and drill the holes, and you can make.
I don't even think you have to fill out paperwork.
Oh, do you not have to fill out paperwork for that? I thought there was a form you had to fill out.
I don't think so. I think as long as if you're making it for yourself and, you know, you don't put a serial number on it and you're not going to sell it to anyone, then you don't have to do anything.
Yep. Well, and that's the thing. But you can make your own gun. You don't need to serialize it. You don't have to do anything. But it's for you and you only.
Right.
If you were to ever die and pass it on or wanted to sell it, it would need to be serialized and then transferred onto
your gun. Actually, your heirs can receive it without that. But you can't sell it or give it to anyone else.
Yeah, unless though adding a serial number to it and doing it through an FFL, I believe you can.
Right.
But you can essentially build your own gun.
But at that point, you have to do a form. You have to do the manufacturer's form and serialize it and you know, pay the excise tax on it and all that kind of stuff.
But essentially, I will note that despite his, I think he's trying to say it, but I've never heard of a story of somebody with a home built firearm besides like a zip gun, but an actual like, you know, home built AR-15 or 1911 or any of the other guns that you can buy in this form ever committing a crime. I mean, I don't think it's ever existed because it's pure hobbyist stuff. And, but his point in the fact is that it is a quote unquote ghost gun, because a gun with a serial number can be tracked. Well,
unless you
all of my guns have a serial number, and it's not going to stop me from going over to my neighbor's house and shooting all of them.
Right.
Yeah.
And if I shoot all of them and I bring my gun with me, it still can't be tracked.
Yep.
I mean, heck, even in Massachusetts, where we've got 100% gun registry, every gun that you own has to be registered with the state. They've still never solved a crime with it.
Nope.
Well, of course not.
We have a caller.
Yay!
Okay. It's Bradley.
Hopefully Bradley knows about 80% builds.
Yes, I've actually done a couple 80%ers.
Awesome! This is what we need.
Yes, somebody that knows what the fuck they're talking about.
Depending on your state, because federal law does not trump state law in this case. Like, I did mine in Hawaii. I had to have it stamped with a serial number so I could register it with the state. But the next one I'm doing here in South Carolina, since there's no registration, it ain't getting a serial number.
Awesome.
Did you have to do any paperwork?
No. Well, okay. I did in Hawaii to register it, but nothing.
Yeah, but no ATF.
It's legal. There's actually a letter on the ATF's website under their frequently asked questions that links right to the letter that says, yes, you can build 80% lowers. It also has a note on the link that says, please be advised, state laws may require more or whatever.
Right.
Awesome.
And it doesn't have to be at 80%. You can, you know, if you have a machine shop, you can build it. You can build anything you want.
Sure.
Oh,
can.
Yeah. You can take a brick of steel, you know, good tool of steel, and turn it into a Uber revolver that makes revolvers look like Smith & Wesson.
Yep.
And they don't give a damn because personal use, they don't care.
Yep. Well, I'm sure they would love to care, but legally they can't. And they haven't figured out a way to alter their interpretation of the rules yet to squeeze those in. But I guarantee you they're trying to.
Yeah, they're trying. Watching that idiot in his video, what really annoyed me was the ARs he picked up. He's like, this is a ghost gun. You can make this, and you don't have to do any paperwork, and no one can find it. That had like a 14-inch barrel on it. Possibly a 12. If you build from your 80%, and since that had a real stock, it wasn't one of those forearm braces, that's a short-barreled rifle. Welcome to felony land. You's going to jail if someone sees that.
Right. Yeah. That's the other thing is the federal laws. Especially the
NFA still applies.
NFA
and the
GCA and all that. You cannot build a machine gun. You cannot build a short-barreled rifle. You cannot build any other weapon. Without filling out the appropriate federal paperwork.
Right. You have to be a SOT if you want to build a machine gun,
right.
Special Operator Tax. If you want to do a short barrel rifle, you can do it, but
it has to be on a form.
You have to not assemble those parts or have them all there until you get an approved form, and it better have a serial number
on it.
That's
right. Yep.
ATF still doesn't care what you do with that 80%, but you make short barrels, you make silencers. Hi, we want to know so we can send you to jail.
Yeah,
they're
but the funny thing is this guy, you know, it's like, and you know, it comes back to this idea that everyone's opinion's valid. And, you know, I mean, this guy's a complete idiot. And nobody stood up there during his press conference and said, you're a fucking moron. You don't know what you're talking about. Even the cops.
That's a standard for gun control.
He even had a couple of cops standing there behind him. And you know.
Either 30 caliber clips looked at him like, dude, yeah,
but they didn't say anything. It's like it's just this. These people spout this bullshit, and they never get called on it. It's just it's weird to me. It's I mean obviously the reason is because you know the media is in favor of this sort of thing. They want you know.
Well, I mean, I've never heard or known a hardcore. I mean, if a hardcore anti-gun person, and I speak from personal experience, learns about how guns work, they stop being an anti-gun person. I mean, that's just.
Well, if they honestly learn, I mean, if they can still be a disingenuous, you know, if they're so married to the idea of gun control that. You could teach them all that, and they could still pretend they didn't know what the fuck, you know.
What's amazing is so many people, and this includes people in the gun community, is they don't understand that, for the most part, 99% of the time, it's easier to make a fully automatic weapon than it is a semi.
Oh, it's always easier.
You know, the British were kicking out Steins, or whatever the hell they were making in World War II, in bicycle shops with parts from the plumbing store next door.
Yep, Sten guns.
Weren't
you
gunsmiths
can,
and milling machines.
Yeah, you can build a Sten out of stuff you find in the hardware store. Literally.
As Tam says, yeah, well, you can buy 90% Sten lowers at
Home
Lowe's.
Depot.
I was just going to mention Tam saying that, because that's where it reminded me. It's like,
yeah.
I did see that on Discovery where they talked about it.
Yep. It's, well, even stuff like the famous Liberator one-shot 45 pistol is made out of, you know, sheet metal and a piece of pipe. I mean, the barrel's not even threaded. I mean, it's basically a fancy zip gun. And you know, I mean, these things can all be made.
75 cents to make. The most expensive part was the 3 rounds of ammo that they dropped with it.
Yeah.
I still think that's hilarious.
So,
and I won't.
You know.
Yeah, and that's the same thing with, it's the same thing with, I mean, Oleg was talking about the fact that all you got to do is build a Sten gun, just take the Sten gun plans and use regular old plumbing pipe and you can make a Sten gun in 20 gauge. And you've got a machine gun, and you know that's made from anything that you can find in an auto body, you know, repair shop, and it's fully functional, and it's all plumbing supply. I mean, you don't even need a rifled barrel in that case, but not like rifled barrels are hard to come by.
No,
an open bolt, 700 round per minute, 20 gauge. I like this. I would have to buy a shotgun reloading press just to, you know, feed the habit.
Yeah.
Make sure to load it with shingle nails.
Well, thanks for calling.
Okay. Talk to you guys later.
Yeah, we're practically out of time. And we covered all our topics.
We did.
That's a freaking miracle.
Congrats, you guys.
I don't know.
Good show.
I don't know what happened.
Well, I wanted to say to my friends in Houston, including Alan and my friend Amanda, I hope you all are very safe because I know you're having the winter storm warning.
Yeah.
Polar vortex!
Well, okay, here's the thing. It's...
Did you go to the grocery store and get your bread and eggs?
No, I did not.
Oh, by the way, remember,
you're doomed
because of global warming.
Right.
See, okay, here's the thing. It's, it's just, they've been touting this winter storm warning for like 3 days now. It's crazy. And they're talking, oh, it's going to, you know, ice pellets and sleet and accumulation of a quarter inch.
Oh, my God. Quarter inch.
Yeah. And,
oh, my God, you might need to shovel with that with a dust broom.
Now, granted, there is
weird. Weird. They were treating the bridges. They were like de-icing the bridges before they had ice.
They literally were spraying the bridges this morning. With
what? There's no ice.
I know. It's
what are you doing?
It's a complete waste of time. I don't know what they thought they were doing. But
wait,
anyway.
Spraying? They don't throw down salt?
No, there's no salt.
What? They don't do salt?
No.
If you're lucky,
they'll put some sand out on a bridge, but that's about it.
But no salt.
No.
I don't even get that. It's cheap.
Yeah, I know. They don't do it.
It's like it's practically free.
No salt.
You've got this thing called the ocean in Houston.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Crazy. We have salt mines under Lake Erie. I'm sure Ohio will be happy to sell some to you.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. It's supposed to, you know, it's raining right, well, sort of raining. It's misting right now, and there's some cold weather, and, you know. But the temperature is like, I don't know, it's like, well, where I am, it just got to like 35.
Oh, no.
But it was like 60 degrees this morning. So, you know, the ground is not cold.
35. Try here. Yeah. It's 5.
Yeah, I know. But my point is that there may be some ice falling from the sky, and there may be a problem on, you know, a few bridges and stuff, but it ain't going to ice the road over. It can't. There's, you know, thermodynamics. You know, there's a lot more heat in the ground than that little bit of ice falling from the sky. That shit's going to melt the minute it hits the ground.
Yep.
Bless your hearts.
And you know, so your car may have ice on it in the morning, and the bridges are going to be iffy, but it's panic all over the place.
I mean, unless it gets real, real cold, because
it's not.
We had quite a warm spell where it got up to, I think it was almost 60 here. I mean, we've had some. I'm actually amazing of the Brita. Have you encountered any of this? I actually just saw a
what.
A thing on SciShow of ice quakes.
What?
Where it happened a few times on Lake Erie this year, where the weather gets so cold so fast that the ice freezes into the lake so fast that it buckles, and it actually creates a shockwave that actually can be felt as a very, very minor seismic activity.
That would not surprise me.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, the lake that I live on, unfortunately, is maybe not big enough. I don't know what the story is, but it's not a very big lake. But we've had some crazy temperature swings. But the other day when it was just calling for rain, and then suddenly I saw huge flakes flying past the window, and I said, "Well, it's snowing, but that's not going to stick because the ground's so warm." And I had to go shovel that night.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm predicting lots of panic and nothing material.
Yep.
I would be very surprised
for that last
when I walk out the door this morning in the morning to go to work, if there's any ice on the ground, I will be shocked. So.
Oh my gosh, you don't have a snow brush.
No, I don't have a snow brush.
Oh
not only
gosh,
that, not only
do.
That, I don't have an ice scraper.
Oh no.
But you know what I did?
Which, after this last storm, I mean, I saw cars. I see this all the time here after a snowstorm. Cars driving with like 20% visibility on there. It's one of those things of the snow all stuck.
Yes.
That we got. So, I mean, it's still around because it hasn't gotten above like, you know, 17 degrees. But
you just chip a hole. big enough to see.
They call those submarine commanders. Nice. They cut a little window that they can see out the front, maybe a little window that they can see out the back, and they make do with it. They entirely pilot by sonar. But it's just one of those things of the Jesus Christ. Even if you don't have a snow brush, you can just use your sleeve.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, just to make my life easier, I crammed my truck into the garage tonight, which involved taking the antenna off because it's too tall to fit in the garage.
You are afraid.
There's like an inch of clearance between the roof of the truck and the top of the garage door.
You are afraid.
I had to pull it in. There's a quarter inch clearance on the back and a quarter inch clearance on the front for the door, and that's it. It barely fits.
Such a geek.
It's just that I don't want to get out there and scrape ice off my truck in the morning, if there is any. So I would prefer to.
Oh, according to the Gunblogger conspiracy, the liquid stuff they spray is to prevent ice buildoff, not melt existing ice. But okay. I mean, they do it around here. They'll sprinkle snow down on the. They sprinkle salt down on the road. You know, they'll drive by and dump rock salt on the roads, mm-hmm. and that will also prevent it because the snow and ice will hit.
Well, the minute it hits the salt, it melts.
The rock salt, and it starts making salt ice, salt water, and that shit don't freeze unless it's real, real cold.
Yep.
Which I've encountered.
All right. Well, I guess we'll have a lot of interesting stories to talk about next week.
I hope not. Well, at least on my behalf, I hope I have a very, very uninteresting trip.
You'll have a story to tell us about the weirdest first flight in.
Because evidently nobody who listens to Squirrel Report, at least nobody listens to it live, knows has flown with an infant. So I will let you know so you don't have to find out on your own.
There you go. Investigate. You're our investigative reporter. Take a hidden camera with you.
No thanks.
All right, everybody. I guess that's it. We're
yep.
All
right. Have a good week.
Have a good week, and we'll be back next week with episode 89.
All right. By the way, I made a guest appearance on the Road Gunner podcast this week.
Oh, cool.
Very cool.
That's going to be appearing on, I believe, according to Chester, it's going to be appearing on Tuesday.
Excellent.
So
Send us the link and we'll put it on the Facebook.
Yeah.
It'll go up on my blog when the post goes live.
Cool.
Okay, cool.
All right, awesome.
Sweet.
All right.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.